Welcome to the BenGreenfieldFitness.com podcast. We provide you with free exercise, nutrition, weight loss, triathlon, and wellness advice from the top fitness experts in the nation. So whether you're an Ironman triathlete or you're just trying to shed a few pounds, get ready for non-run-of-the-mill, cutting-edge content from BenGreenfieldFitness.com.
Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield, and occasionally I run into people who kind of seem to be defying aging in terms of the way that their body looks and in terms of what they're able to achieve as they get older. And my podcast guest today is one of those people. His name is Dr. Nick Delgado. And when he was 53 years old, using the stuff that he's going to teach you today, he actually shattered the world endurance record for the most pounds lifted overhead in an hour. And specifically, I believe he lifted over 53,000 pounds over the course of an hour. And of course, now he's on track to set a new world record for being the longest living man, hopefully, using the protocols that he's developing. He's got a really good book. It's called Stay Young, and I'll put a link to that over on Amazon so you can check that out. And that book in particular showcases what he calls his Delgado Protocol for Health. And we're going to dig into some of his specific food and lifestyle and exercise techniques for anti-aging, because Nick is considered to be one of the world's foremost authorities on anti-aging. So, Nick, thanks so much for coming on the call, man.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Ben.
I got to start right here. I got to jump right into this, but I'm curious, when you're talking about breaking the world record for aging, how old do you really think that we could live to? Like what are we talking here?
Well, consider that Gene Calumet reached 122 years of life with several months added to that, so nearly 123. And there was a gentleman out of Japan recently that made it up to 115. Now, what you have to understand is Gene Calumet and this Japanese gentleman, they did not do anything to augment their hormones, nutraceuticals, power the mind. I mean, they just came on this planet and lasted that long. Mm-hmm. So Gene Calumet actually died of dehydration in the care unit where they didn't give her enough fluids, and she just dried up. And so you've got to figure that it may be somewhere above that. And if we take into account that the telomeres replicate and they basically shorten with each replication at the end of the chromosomes. And so what we're looking at now is how do we lengthen the telomeres? We can actually measure them with a test that we send the test kit up to Spain. And there's a National Institute of Health equivalent in Spain that measures the length of your telomeres. So, you know, Ben, you might
have
tell
you, have you done that? Have you had your telomeres measured?
Absolutely. I did a baseline and I found out where I was before I started making all these changes. And the soonest you can retest with this kind of an accurate test is about 3 years, although some people feel you can see some differences in 1 year based on augmenting and doing different lifestyle factors. And what's interesting, this test is tough to pass. I got to tell you, Ben, there were people who were age, say, 48, and they said, well, you tested out at age 62. There were people that, you know, were in their 30s and tested literally, you know, in their 50s. There were people, a few in their late 60s, one gentleman aged 68, and he tested age 48. So, you know, really, chronological age is a myth. It's how do you take care of yourself? What do you eat? What do you think? How well do you sleep? I mean, there's certain things that we look at that we know will extend the length and potentially the quality of life.
So what's the name of that test?
It's done by AMTL Labs, and people can just contact us. The specific test itself is a measure of telomeres. Some okay. people call them telomeres or telomeres. They're both right. I mean, it depends if you're out of Canada or UK or if you're talking out of the US. So these telomeres, what they look for is there's a certain length, and some of them shrink to half the size or one-third the size. And also there's something called telomere chaos. Chromosome chaos. And chromosome chaos, according to Dr. Peter Duisberg, is one of the causes of potential cancer. That is, chromosomal replication, and they don't replicate the cell identical to what the prior cell was, and now you have a mutation. So we're really learning a lot about aging. We're also learning a lot that actually cancer cells are immortal, meaning that these cancer stem cells, when they develop and grow, they would outlive the length of the body of the host that they're in.
Now, what about these drugs that are out there that are purported to shorten the rate at which telomeres would shorten, or to somehow increase telomere length or prevent telomeres from degrading? Do you take or do you utilize any of those?
Well, when you say the drugs, you know, I go as natural and as close to nature, because I can't remember a case where a so-called drug, and I'll define as something that's maybe chemically different than what's potentially in the body, or so in
well, the one that I'm talking about is called TA65, I think.
Oh, okay. So that's not really a drug. It's an herb, just between you and I. Basically, they found astragalus out of Mongolia, and they said, okay, this particular herb, you know, we're basically saying this is the one that has the extract that we want to use. But we have to understand the history of astragalus. In the countries where astragalus grows, the saying goes, and this goes dates back nearly 2,000 years, when you eat this herb, you live longer. So it's interesting, somehow by folklore, people eating this astragalus herb did actually live longer. And yes, absolutely. I use a 200-to-1 extract in our product called Stay Young, which I'm the first to use that concentration.
So that's what that stuff is? It's just astragalus?
Well, they say
a mix of stuff with astragalus in it?
They didn't mix anything with it. What they did was they extracted. They did an isolate. So they removed some of the what they hoped would be the actual active ingredients that caused this lengthening of the telomeres. But who's to say? I mean, I've personally worked in whole food nutrition for years. And keep in mind the history of vitamin A and beta carotenes. When they isolated vitamin A and they gave people that as a supplement, thinking it would have the full potential as an antioxidant and nutrient absorber of free radical damage, they were shocked to see the groups taking the vitamin A did far worse than the groups taking the whole beta carotene. And there's several different carotenoids in carrots and green and yellow and different vegetables, you see. So what I'm worried about is, if you're doing extracts, how do you know you got the full complement? I like to go with whole foods nutrition and then concentrate it, really get a concentrate of that. And now I think you've got something that could really work.
Yeah, that's interesting. I actually take astragalus every day. I didn't know that was the stuff that's in TA65. That's interesting. So, you know, you've obviously got this Delgado protocol, and we've you know, just hinted a little bit here and there at it. And I want to delve more into like what your day of eating and living and what kind of exercise protocol you use actually looks like. But before we do that, how'd you get involved with this in the first place? Like how'd you start to delve into the realm of anti-aging and hormone optimization and what you do now?
Well, I first got intrigued when I was wanting to play football in high school and gain weight, like most of us athletes, right? And I remember the story of Nick Bonacani. He played for Miami Dolphins. He was all of maybe 5'8 and 220 pounds, you know? And so I was hoping that I could just add to my frame. I'm also 5'8", and I was weighing 160 my freshman year in high school. And by my senior year, I'd gotten up to 190. And then in college, my freshman year, I was up to about 210, 220. But, you know, it was about that point, just loading up, quote unquote, on the proteins, which little did I realize at that time that high protein foods are also in some cases high in fat. And so the complement of fat and protein and minimizing my, quote, carbohydrates, I thought that was the way to go. But I ended up gaining a lot of weight. When you gain weight, Ben, it's not always muscle weight. You like to hope it is. But the reality is I got up to over 25% body fat, which was nowhere near where I'm at now, which is under 7% body fat. So, you know, I've got to say that, you know, you've got to be careful when you're talking about adding weight. And a lot of the bodybuilders, as you know, when they add lean weight, it generally is lean body mass. But they also understand a lot about hormones and its interaction of anabolics, right? So what we're looking at then is I reached a point in my life where I had a small stroke. I had high blood pressure. I was on blood pressure medications.
You had a stroke?
yeah, I'd gained too much weight, and my blood pressure was high throughout my freshman year all the way to my for 4 years in high school and year in college.
How old were you when you had a stroke?
I was 22 years old, wow. And it was a small stroke, which they call a TIA, transient ischemic attack. But I got to tell you, Ben, I was terrified. I was playing a football game on the Turkey Bowl against the Pasadena police officers, and I was a middle linebacker. And at halftime, when I went to the sideline, I fell to the – my head felt weird, and I fell to the ground. I mean, I lost complete feeling on the whole right side of my body. I couldn't even move. And, you know, I came out of it, but that transient attack, here I was on blood pressure medications, and I thought the doctors had me covered and protected. And I was, you know, doing what they told me to do, reduce stress, don't use salt, avoid sugar. I was doing all that. But see, I didn't realize the high protein, high fat foods were far more damaging and most likely the cause of my high blood pressure. But when I had that small stroke, it caused me to reevaluate. So I went back to the university. I started training and educating because I was in physical therapy. And here I was working with stroke victims. I was terrified. I thought I better do something quick. And I read the book Live Longer Now by Nathan Pritikin. And he had a whole section on high blood pressure. And it answered all the things that the medical profession had never told me was going on. And I followed what he taught. And within 6 months, I lost 50 pounds, got in great shape. And I met him in Pasadena speaking at a conference. And he invited me to speak and work at the Pritikin Longevity Center, which I became director of.
Wow. So since that time, I would imagine that you've developed basically like a day-to-day protocol based off of all this research that you've done on how to live as long as possible.
You know, every endocrinological convention I go to, every bioidentical hormone research that I've reviewed, stem cells, I've looked through herbs, nutraceuticals, various lifestyles around the world. And about 5 years ago, after I broke the world strength endurance record and lifted 50,564 pounds in 1 hour, and then in April of 2011, people may not be aware of this, but Guinness doesn't acknowledge a curl press. So they sent me a letter and said, well, we have a world record for curls. And I said, curls? I said, what's the weight? And they sent me a letter and said it was 50 pounds nonstop. And I looked it up. Stuart Burrell had done 550 curls in 1 hour with 50 pounds from the UK. So I had been training my curl to press. And I thought to myself, Ben, you know, a curl to press, I do a lot of curls, right, in my training. So I brought, I followed the regulations that Guinness follows. I had a camera crew that videotaped me continuous. I had three judges, and I went out to my favorite place to work out at Inspiration Point in Corona Del Mar near Newport Beach.
Right.
And I pulled up the weights and I ripped through. Within 30 minutes, I had done 600 curls with 50 pounds, and by an hour, 1,038 curls, which was a new world record.
Wow. That's amazing.
And so having done that, I started thinking, why am I breaking strength endurance records? You know, what's the risk of injury? What could happen as I get older if I keep trying to break these world records, right? Mm-hmm. Especially since I competed in March of this year with 45-pound dumbbells in each hand, and the competition couldn't even come close to over 100 lifts that I did. And in the 35-pound category, I did 285 lifts, and no one could come close to it. And I thought, well, I'm so far ahead of even the world-class athletes. Even with 45-pound dumbbells the following week, I did 340 continuous lifts nonstop. And I don't know if you've ever curled and pressed 45-pound dumbbells, but
yep. Got a couple up in my garage.
Yeah, it's a good little lift. Most strong guys, after they get up to about 50 curl and presses, start to shake. I mean, it's heavy. So, you know, I thought about it, and Ben, I thought, you know, what if I decided to break the world record for healthy aging? Because I didn't want to end up 124 years old and break the world record, but be in a wheelchair and be incoherent, right? I thought, why not add a caveat? I want to be the healthiest, oldest man in history.
Mm-hmm.
So as I continued to study about these super centurions, what shocked me, Dr. Leaf discovered when he went out to visit the super centurions in places like Hunza of Pakistan, the Vilcabamba of Ecuador.
Would these be what you would call like the blue zones?
They refer to, they say that they eat a lot of, you know, get a lot of trace minerals off the mountains, and they don't know why, you know, and, but one thing they have in common, they eat a very unprocessed, low fat, whole foods diet, right? Mm-hmm. And they, and they're very active, but here's the truth. None of them reached 120 and above. What they did was they wanted to avoid getting inducted into the war. So the fathers passed on their birth certificates to their son at age 60. So their son at birth was 60 years old. And then you add their lifespan to 60, 70, and they reached what looked to be 110, 120, 130, and they were not.
Gotcha.
So the reality is these people who are supposedly the longest lived people in the world only probably peak out at about 80, 85. And the longest lived people are in Okinawa, but there's one group that exceeded the Okinawans, and I want to tell you about that. Okinawa, the average lifespan is 91.5, but in a part of Massachusetts, where the Koreans have migrated to, where they have access to anti-aging doctors and bioidentical hormones, their average lifespan exceeds the Okinawans, making them the longest lived people in the world. And they're eating a traditional diet centered around vegetables and rice and sea vegetables, and they're using natural bioidentical hormones. They are breaking all the records. And that's what gives me confidence that knowing biochemistry and hormones, that along with the power of the mind and lifestyle and clearing my body of toxins, I have a five-point plan that's going to get me to the world record of aging.
Now, when you say they're using bioidentical hormones, like how are those people doing that? Are they working with like compounded hormone replacement therapists or pharmacists, or what exactly are they doing?
Precisely. They go to an anti-aging doctor trained at the worldhealth.net, and I lecture at these conferences on a regular basis, but I can tell you that the doctors are trained to use hormones that are synthesized from wild yam extract. They're compounded to be identical to what is already in your body, whether male hormones, female hormones. And we then are able to measure these people, find out what their baseline, how deficient they are at age 60, 70, or 80. And by the way, Ben, I recommend people at age 20 or 25 to get their hormone levels checked, because you want to know about what was perfect for you at your optimum levels.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that like I personally do blood testing about four times a year because of that. You know, I want to keep my finger on the pulse of this, as well as some of the other stuff that you've hinted at, you know, like full body inflammation and some of the things that diet could be causing, you know, depending on how your body is dealing with your specific diet. So you said that you've got 5 points in your protocol. And, you know, I'm curious if maybe you could kind of walk us through what a typical day looks like for you and how those 5 points are kind of fleshing themselves out in the way that you're living your life.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I'm creating this massive chart, and one of them is looking at diseases, because obviously if you die of a heart attack or a stroke, the game's over. You're no longer part of the world record for aging, right? And then I analyze various types of diets, Atkins, South Beach, Paleo, Vegetarian, Vegan, American Heart Association, Cancer Society, Diabetic Association. I analyze all these diets that come and go, or the ones that have been established by well-known entities and agencies. And then I look at nutraceuticals and the phytonutrients. So I really, when I'm talking about dietary therapy and nutrition, I get into omegas, the complexity of proteins, the sugars, the nutrition of the biology of the body, you know, what people tend to be allergic to, like dairy whey or, you know, and then I look at calorie needs, kwashiorkor and mashimor. So, you know, a lot of these calorie restriction programs, you know, the animals weren't very happy. They sit at the bottom of the cage because they don't have enough calories to even function or have sex. So I don't want to go on a calorie restriction diet because that doesn't make sense. But you want a nutrient-rich, dense program. So I look at then, and answer your question, I put together quality of life, spirituality, how you function sexually, which is a big part of quality of life, and particularly for men, of course. And when a woman's with a man that knows what he's doing, then the women just love it as well. But, you know, most women are disappointed with the sex play of men as we know it. So I look at these things, Ben, and you know, what I've done is then I look at the quality of sleep, and I look at the power of the mind. So I look at the 5 points, and I put this whole thing together that I personally follow and do a journal. I think a lot of the top athletes know to do this, but you journal what you're doing. What does your lab work look like? What is your body weight? What's your body fat level? What's your hormone levels? You know, what's your state of mind? What's your relationship status? You know, how are you feeling about your job and your career? You know, these are the things that I look at in my own lifestyle and mm-hmm. what I teach my clients to do as well.
Got it. Interesting. So what's a typical like breakfast, lunch, dinner look like for you?
You know, if there were such a thing as typical for me, breakfast is an amazing meal because I routinely will take, like this morning, I have a massive salad. When I say massive, it's bigger than the serving bowl that's in front of the whole family. And it's got all the way from artichoke hearts that are not packed in oil but packed in water. It's got jicama. It's got almost every kind of green imaginable, kale, Swiss chard, arugula. It's got some little peppercorns and chilies because, you know, you get a lot of vitamin A and C from the chilies. It's got tomatoes, a little avocado. I mean, it's just this amazing salad with a fat-free dressing. I usually either use a version that we recommend, Warden's Farm or Galileo's, which I look for things with less than 3 grams of fat per serving, zero, now, one, two, or three.
I got to ask you this because I know folks are going to comment on this. Are you concerned at all about lack of like hormone precursors, steroid precursors, cell membrane integrity, stuff like that when it comes to cutting too much fat out of the diet or going too low fat, like when it comes to healthy fats?
Well, I'm glad you bring it up because I studied omega 3, 6, and 9. And what people will tell you is you get your DHA and you get your certain essential fatty acids from fish oil, right? Everyone wants to point to fish oil. But I have a question for you, Ben. Where do you think the omegas come in the fish? Because fish do not naturally have omega 3, 6, and 9. Where do you think fish gets its fish oil derivative to create the optimum 3, 6, 9? Any idea?
Is it from algal sources?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I recommend that people get their algal sources, whether it be chlorella, spirulina, and I even use a supplement. And about the most I allow is a little teaspoon, you know, that my 5-year-old uses on up to my 35-year-old. As you know, I have 5 children, if I didn't mention that earlier, 4 boys and a girl. And, you know, for myself and my kids, you know, at various stages, especially for the 5-year-old with brain development, I make sure he gets that little bit of a teaspoon. But see, everyone goes and uses olive oil and coconut oil and they cook it. Well, the crazy thing is you're cooking the essential fatty acids and altering its chemical composition. Some people say, well, cooking it liberates certain nutrients that you need. That's a bunch of wash. You know, I mean, oils, when they're cooked, they're destroyed. The moment they're taken out of olives, the moment the oil is taken out of coconut, the moment it's taken out of any nut or seed, you've destroyed the composition of the oil. Now, there are some cold press processing. There are some finesse ways to get it out of the algae. And so that's why I do use that one. And you've heard of Udo's oil. I mean, he talks about flaxseed and borage and the 369 omegas. And I'm very sensible. What people don't realize is a high fat diet can cause a fat deficiency.
How do you mean?
Because they're taking the wrong compositions of 6 or 9, and they're not getting enough of the 3s. And omega-3s are hard to get as a vegetarian or even as an animal eater. You have to know what you're doing, and that's where the algaes come in and in the right mix of oil composition. And the best way to absorb oil, believe it or not, Dr. Press proved this. He put people on a nutritional IV that only had glucose. And in 30 days, every one of the persons started to develop essential fatty acid deficiencies. Their skin got dry. They developed eczema, some signs of fatty acid deficiency, right? So guess how he replaced their fat? He didn't give them by mouth. He didn't infuse it. He didn't give them by supplement. He rubbed the oil on their skin. And Dr. Press proved that only 0.01% was enough to completely relieve an essential fatty acid deficiency. Now, I'm not about just relieving deficiencies. So in our diet, when you select whole natural foods, we don't discourage the use of avocados, olives, coconuts, soaked nuts and seeds. Those are whole super fats. They have the fiber present. So as you consume this food, it makes logical sense your body can absorb the essential fatty acids at the right rate. The confusion is people say, oh, but wait a minute, I extra light virgin olive oil. Number one, extra light. Light is referring to the color of the oil. If you read the spelling, they're fraudulently making you think it's light in calories. It's the highest source of calories on the planet. If you use a quarter cup of olive oil, as some of these people do in their recipes, you're setting yourself up for freaking disaster. I mean that oil is so concentrated. It's not that it's a monounsaturate, polyunsaturate, or any type of a composition chemically. It's that it's mechanically sticky. When oils are separated out of its natural fiber base of nuts, seeds, avocado, or olive, that oil rolls right into the bloodstream undigested. It coats the blood cells, suppresses oxygen to the capillary beds, the leading cause of high blood pressure, one of the leading causes of breast cancer, one of the highest known causes of several different diseases. And this has been well documented. So, you know, I'm sensible. I want about 15 to 45 grams of dietary fat a day from whole natural superfoods. And then I'll chase it with a little of the algae oil. And so I'm getting far more essential fatty acids than almost 90% of people.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Like you're speaking my language. We actually, when our kids were little, we'd break open fish oil capsules that my wife and I take and actually rub them into their feet. And now what I do is I use some marine phytoplankton and chlorella. And then I have olive oil, but it's this olive oil from Europe that's extremely cloudy and dense and has all of these active components in it. It's all cold processed, but like the really high quality olive oil. And you know, then a lot of the healthy vegetable based fats that you talk about, but never heated, you know, never oxidized. So you know, it's something that I think a lot of people make the mistake of doing is, you know, they might hear that fats are necessary for steroids and hormones and stuff like that. And then, you know, they go out and screw themselves by using all the wrong sources.
Yeah, you're right on. I would just add a caveat. One of the oldest men on the planet right now in Arizona is 111 years old. And this gentleman rubs olive oil on his skin. He doesn't consume the oil. He knows.
That's so funny. That's what I do. I have a bottle of olive oil in my bathroom and use it on my skin. But he knows he doesn't consume it at all, huh?
Rarely. I mean, if he does, it's very small amounts and unprocessed, unheated, you know, the whole thing. So I rub olive oil. It's kind of strange. Either olive oil or I use various exotic oils on my feet because look, your feet, I mean, you know, they get a little dry and cracked and you're running and all these different things. And I wear, you know, barefoot shoes, not just Vibram. I use Body Glide, which gets me even lower to the ground and my feet can grip the ground. So, you know, my feet are going and doing a lot of work. They're not just static inside a shoe and
what
locked
are they called?
In.
Body Glide?
Body Glide, yeah, the same ones you can go skin diving with or go out on the rocks in the ocean. Okay. You know, the divers use them. And they're a little hard to find, but they're only about $20, whereas, you know, Vibram's about $74. So they're incredible. I love the shoes. They're very comfortable.
Nice.
So, you know, your feet is a good absorption for oils. Mm-hmm. If you rub in a little garlic oil in there, you're going to taste garlic at the tip of your tongue. These oils absorb and they go into the deep tissues, which is where it's needed. And you can just rub it on your face in different areas where you're getting little wrinkles maybe showing up. Even rub a little melatonin cream into the skin, and it's the most powerful antioxidant for wrinkles. It's been shown to actually reverse wrinkles in many cases using melatonin cream, believe it or not.
Melatonin cream. That's fascinating. Yeah. Wow. So many segues, and all we did was start to talk about your breakfast. let's throw one more in there before we talk about your exercise protocol. What's like a typical dinner look like for you?
You know, dinner, you know, is usually an Asian type array. I think the Asian diet is far superior to the Mediterranean diet. I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, olive oil and the longevity, but the Italians are sixth in the world in longevity. The Chinese, certain parts of China and Okinawa, as I mentioned, Japan, and Japan are number one, two, and three, besides the new Korean group out in Maryland. So in Boston area, that is. So what I'm saying is that you really got to look at who is truly, by peer-reviewed journals, living longer, not just these super fake centurions that don't live as long as we were led to believe. And so when you study true longevity, look at the Okinawans. They eat basically sea vegetables, oranges, and a lot of purple sweet potatoes, and they eat fish, listen, not twice a week, twice a month. So they hardly consume any animal product whatsoever. Really?
That's so interesting. You hear that fish is like a daily staple in an Okinawan's diet, but that's not the case?
Not the case. The peer-reviewed journals, and this has been substantiated. I had one a blogger, you know, question me on it and did a lot of research to see if I was right and pulled up the Japanese peer review that were translated, and he said, you're absolutely right. They only consume fish only about twice a month. And I don't know if that's because their culture is, you know, just somehow has a sense, an inward sense that you shouldn't really eat that much fish, or it's part of their cultural habits. Or it's just difficult to go, you know, sea fishing out in the ocean there. I'm not sure the reason for that. I've been to Japan, which is the second longest lived culture in the world, in 2006, where I spoke at an anti-aging conference and I taught about sexuality, which was, the room was packed, by the way, and half the women in the room I thought were going to stay, and you could tell the men asked them to leave and the women had to leave. But it was interesting. What an amazing culture, Japanese. I mean, they are so ahead of us in technology and in health and nutrition. And, you know, they eat a lot of sea vegetables. They eat more rice than the Okinawans. So I'm not a big fan of rice. I think brown rice is okay, but I'm a bigger fan of the tubers. The sweet potatoes eaten by the New Guinea natives, they also are free of diabetes. They have a long life, except for they have issues of famine when certain times the crops don't grow. And you know, that can, you know, kill a 90 or 100 year old. And unfortunately, you know, that's the reality of their culture. So I you know, my dinner is a lot of times Asian vegetables that are lightly, if at all, cooked. You know, I use oil-free, you know, preparation methods. I go to a lot of Asian pho restaurants, Vietnamese. They have a really low rate of breast cancer. By the way, the Vietnamese have a dramatically lower rate of breast cancer than the Italians. Italians, because they use olive oil, have a very high rate of breast cancer. Not as high as we do in the U.S. because we eat all kinds of fats and meats and everything. But the Italians are definitely at far greater risk than the Vietnamese and the Thai people. So Thailand, you know, they eat a very tasty diet. I love Thai food. I eat out and eat Thai food a lot. Or at home, I just prepare multiple whole food dishes, some split peas cooked in my crock pot with, you know, multiple vegetables and big salads and Swiss chard. You know, I have fruit for dessert. So it's all whole food.
That sounds fantastic. Now, you know, I'm curious, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm curious if you've ever looked into what Weston Price has studied in terms of like some of the longest living populations on the planet, as far as like their consumption of things like pork fat and organ meats and some of these things that seem to contrast some of the things that you're talking about as far as fat is concerned. Have you looked into that at all, or do you have an opinion on Dr. Weston Price and some of the stuff that he's done?
Yeah, when I was doing my PhD thesis and research, you know, I was doing a study on 693 people at a Tony Robbins event and rechecking them in 6-month intervals, which I did the most massive human study ever done with microscopy and lipids and follow-up. There's been studies where they've done more lipid studies, but we did more where we visualized, helped the patients to see under the microscope what their blood looked like when it was all clumped, filled with fat from raw food, like Weston Price recommends eating raw meat. Raw meat can be high in fat. And I saw recently an all-raw foodist, and they were following Weston Price, raw meat, raw eggs, the whole thing. And when I looked at their blood, they had so many microbes and bacteria and fat in their blood, and the guy felt awful. And I said, here's why. Look at your blood. It's awful. And blood doesn't lie. I got to tell you, Ben, you know, that's my separator of the truth from the lie. And I've been fortunate for 36 years to look at tens of thousands of people's blood based on how they exercise, how they eat, what hormones they take, you know, what lifestyle they follow. And I'm just telling you, I get 1 in 1,000 people where I bow down to them and I say, wow, you're doing it all right. You're exercising intensely. You breathe heavily continuous during your exercise for at least an hour. You're eating all whole raw foods. You're not adding oils. You're not eating meats. You're in the positive state of mind. I mean, just amazing stuff. And their blood looks immaculate. I mean, it just looks beautiful. No free radical damage, no signs of cancer, no inflammation. I mean, they just look perfect. And their body looks perfect. I mean, these people are on the planet, and I have the proof that that's the model we all need to follow. I mean, Bob Delmatique was one of my mentors in, you know, 84, and I became his coach. But unfortunately, he was a throwback from the meat-eating people. And, you know, they try to eat processed, raw food and stuff, but meat is meat, and it's got its toxins, and it's got its high fat content. And even protein, if you read the China study, Colin Campbell, and he talks about high protein itself is a risk for cancer, particularly liver cancer. Jack Lane was a great 95, that is. I believe he nearly reached 97. I have a date back at my home office, so I don't have that date in front of me. But Jack, you know, he took 85 supplements, one for every year he was when I videotaped and met him in when he was 85. And when he reached his 90s, he just, you know, continued to use whole supplements and exercise and the power of the mind. He never ate food out of a container, never out of a can. And, yeah. And Jack, you know, he's a good model, but Jack, he had some adrenal weaknesses and he ended up having pneumonia, and that's what he died from because no one taught him about adrenal function and how to support the adrenals. I use Adrenal DMG, which is an amazing product, rich in adrenal cortex, dimethylglycine. So I'll deviate from a vegan diet because I know that some things you got to get glandulars and you've got to get those micronutrients for thyroid, T3, T4. You've got to take certain herbs and supplements and combinations that augment. And wherever I can, I go completely plant-based. But because it's not a ethical vegetarian, I'm following a program for, you know, breaking the world record of aging, then, you know, when you read Kurzweil and these guys at Google talking about, you know, some of these amazing nutrients, but, you know, it really gets down to, I'll measure my telomeres against theirs in 10 years and we'll see who's really right. I mean, you know, the story's going to come out when I reach and break the world record for aging. Hopefully you're around to see me do it.
Yeah, I got to get on this telomere testing bandwagon as well. You know, my whole take on the meat and the fat thing is I choose all whole, pure, unprocessed oils. I choose only organic meats. I choose proteins specifically that are rich in glycine as well as methionine. So most of my proteins are coming from like organ meats and things of that nature rather than just like the nasty red meat that our ancestors would have traditionally fed to the dogs. And that's the way that I roll. And it sounds like what I'm doing is a little bit different than what you're doing. And so I'm going to have to do some of this telomere testing myself because I'm happy with my blood panel, but it sounds like I need to do the telomeres as well. I'm curious about your exercise protocol. You obviously have a huge amount of strength endurance. And you've kind of hinted here a second ago about like the type of exercise protocol that you're seeing folks do that you really respect. What do you think is kind of the best type of protocol in terms of anti-aging for exercise as far as the research that you've done?
You know, I've studied interval training. I've studied ultra marathons. I've looked at, just almost every imaginable type of exercise. And of course, I think, you know, most of us into fitness realize that we do need to do a variety of types of training. But I isolate it down in a different way when I talk about fitness and training. I look at it from this standpoint. Does the exercise stimulate your lymphatics? And that's a big question because I incorporate a lot of trampoline work while I'm lifting weights.
That's so funny. That was the first thing I thought of when you said lymphatics, because that's my dad does that. He's got a mini trampoline, and I asked him why he uses it, and that was the first thing that he talked about was lymph flow.
You know, the lymph is probably the most amazing. I mean, beyond the bloodstream, it accounts for 36% of the entire fluid volume. So it exceeds anything that we can imagine with the bloodstream circulatory system. So you always see these images, you know, and they're showing someone's skeleton, and you see the bones, and then you see the heart and the blood vessels coming off and subclavian vein and the blood vessels going to the brain and so forth. But they never show the lymphatics. The lymphatics are far more extensive, far more important. And remember, for every toxin that the body liberates during metabolism, every time you take a breath, your lymphatics have to work overtime to clear out all these toxins and chemicals. And so that's why, you know, I've looked under a microscope. I've looked at and understand the white blood cells, the immune system, how these nutrients function. And I've discovered that by wind sprints, Ben, running fast, running hard, yeah, you increase your efficiency of your lymphatic system tenfold, 10 times more efficient in clearing toxins and chemicals. Have you ever noticed when you're exercising consistently, and I mean hard and consistent, how easy it is for the bowels to function, you know, more efficient urinary tract extraction. So your body, your bowel habits increase dramatically because you're getting rid of more toxins when you exercise intensely.
Yeah, yeah. I especially like the concept of this type of lymph activation in the morning. So I don't have a mini trampoline, but what I do in the morning is I do about 200 jumping jacks just to bounce up and down for a while. And then I actually have an inversion table, and I go out to my garage and I hang from this inversion table, and I do all of that before I go in and kind of do my morning thing in the bathroom. And it helps tremendously as far as just like cleaning you out almost right away. It's pretty amazing.
It's amazing. Hey, I'll add to that. Let me give you an exercise that I created. I don't know of anyone that does this. I do 300 to 500 jump pull-ups in the morning. And what nice. I do is I reach up to a high bar and I vary my grip on the pull-ups to do chin-ups, which, you know, I'm doing like a curl reverse grip so that I'm training the biceps. But then I'll do a little bit of a wider grip at times. But at the bottom of my pull-up, I have a trampoline, which is a jump mate. And it basically nice. Has these bungee cords. So when I touch the bottom, I get a little kip. And so instead of doing 30 or 40 pull-ups, I'm doing 300 to 500 pull-ups. And every time I hit that trampoline, 0 to 3 G4s, I'm stimulating my lymphatics. And I nice. Can rip off 300 to 500 pull-ups in less than 15 minutes. And nice. I'm telling you, it's a cardio workout. It's a lymphatic system training. And it stretches out my spine, like you mentioned, inversion table. It yeah. stretches out my entire body. And I just feel wonderful because I mix it in with a lot of hammer curl presses on the trampoline. So I'm either lifting or I'm pulling, right? That's yep. all exercises are. They're either squats, lifting, pulling, eccentric, concentric contractions. And so you're either doing a lengthening movement, eccentric, or contractric. Contraction or concentric or shortening contraction. Everything is all based on that basic primary movement. And then how intense you do it, I do a series of pyramiding. I start heavy because you're fresh, you're strong. I don't worry about warm-ups because I do really good form and I move the weight slowly through the motion. I start heavy and then pyramid down as I get tired. And then when I get to the bottom of my pyramid where I'm doing maybe 100, 200 lifts, I pyramid back up so I have mental toughness and I end with the highest weight because you have muscle memory and you'll remember the last weight you moved.
Yeah, and you're also, when you're using different repetitions and weights like that, you're activating a good combination of fast twitch and slow twitch muscle fibers. So you're hitting a good spectrum, right?
Right, because if I'm going heavy, I'm moving the weight slower by its very nature just to be careful of my anatomy and my structure and not cause an injury. You have to move the weight slowly, but that exerts a whole different set of muscle fibers. But then when I drop to the bottom of my pyramid and I'm using lighter weights, I'm moving it very rapidly, very fast through its motion. So now I'm engaging the fast twitch muscle fibers.
Nice. I like it. And do you do anything in terms of recovery? Like do you do cryotherapy or electrostim or like soft tissue work or anything like that as kind of a staple in your protocol?
My favorite is cyclic variations and adaptive conditioning. So 4 days a week, a minimum of three, I go to an altitude conditioner and I sit in the tank. I hook up my Tesla device, my neuromuscular stimulator device, and I crank it up to 300 to 400 volts of energy. And I contract my muscle groups while I'm doing 3 20-minute sessions at going from 10 to 20,000 feet altitude and dropping at 1,000 feet per second. There's only a handful of tanks around the country, and I was one of the first pioneers to experiment and use it, and I believe that's one of the reasons why I broke my first world record at past the age of 50, and at the nearly age 60, I still out-train guys half my age.
Okay, so we have a bunch of biohackers who listen in, and I know that many of them will actually go get this thing. So what's this tank called?
Well, your deposit is 75 grand. And,
trust me, I've talked to some of our listeners. They will go out and get this thing. What's it called?
Yeah, well, they can contact my office and okay. I can get an actual unit. There's an attached fee. So that's just the deposit for 5 years. And then they have a lease with it and stuff. But it's phenomenal. I got to tell you, Ben, I mean, if I were to say, hey, tell me one single thing that's bounced me into the super fit into the future of health and fitness. The guy that won the U.S. Open last year, Djokovic, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, but he said the CVAC, the cyclic variations and adaptive conditioning. And if I'm going to post on my website all about it, how I use it, because I use it far different than everyone else using it. They just sit in the tank static. Can you imagine that? What a crazy waste of time. I hook up my electrodes and I'm cranking through my muscle groups, full on hard muscular contractions of my back, my hamstrings, my buttocks, my deltoids, and particularly my traps. So now my traps are coming up really strong and hard, and I've got one of these hard Brazilian butt, even though I'm a white guy. I've got a little Latin in me, but the girls would be impressed. I mean, you know, I'm building that butt, you know?
Yeah, I've actually talked about it on a podcast before about this. There was actually a pretty recent study done on DHEA activation and hypoxic exposure, specifically in swimmers. But I do hypoxia several times a week, especially on my off days. I'll go and just hop in the river and do underwater swimming, or hop in the pool and do underwater swimming as long as possible for multiple reps. And then what I have out in my garage is Hypoxico, which is it's an air generator that will reduce the partial pressure of oxygen in the air, shove you up around like 15 to 20,000 feet, and you put it on your face while you're riding a bike or doing push-ups or running on a treadmill or whatever. And that's like it's basically a unit with a HEPA filter and a oxygen generator that you just like keep in the garage or wherever. I'm right on board with you as far as the hypoxic stuff goes. It's very cool.
This is a little different because it's controlled by a computer, so you're only exposed to intermediate, brief, short, like less than a few nanoseconds of low oxygen, and then you drop at 1,000 feet per second. So what's happening is your mitochondria and your respiration and your whole body is going through this massive contraction and change rapidly. So it's really taking it several fold above hypoxia, because I agree hypoxia can work, but the old saying is live high, train low. So the bicyclers would stay at the top of the mountain, but they would train at the base of the mountain. So you don't usually expose yourself to hypoxia while you're training. What you do is you expose it at intermediate intervals. And that's why the 20-minute program, I go up all the way to level 4 and 5. And it's so freaking intense that you've got to know how to clear your ears as the tank is dropping, you know, at 1,000 feet per second. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I found the website for this thing. I'm looking at it right now, the CVAC pods. Crazy. Hey, the only way to do that type of intermittent hypoxia with that unit I was talking about, and I've tried this before, is you just put the mask on, then you rip it off your face, then you put it back on, then you take it off, and it's a little bit less convenient than this thing. So obviously we could talk forever about this stuff, but really quickly to kind of finish up, just to give people a little bit of a flavor. What exactly are the five protocols, like the five parts of the Delgado protocol, like the 30-second elevator pitch, so to speak, as far as like what each of the five actually are? Because I don't think we actually got them.
Yeah, and by the way, let me build in the one that I didn't really address. And so if we say starting with whole food nutrition, okay, so the foods, you know, the super nutrition, I'll just call it super nutrition, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're looking at your fitness level, and I call it rapid fitness, because you want to train hard and fast. You don't want to drag it out throughout the day and hang out at the gym for hours. I mean, you really want to get it in hard and fast, and you know, somewhere over 45 minutes to an hour, your testosterone level starts to drop. and you don't want that issue. Also, preservation of wealth, because a lot of people need security and to feel that base of security. So when they go to work, they're not working just for a dollar. They already know they're secure. There's, you know, they have asset protection, they have corporations, they've got attorneys they've consulted with, but they're really, you know, by our definition, when I say wealthy, I mean it's so secure that it'll go, you know, 2, 3, 4 generations past that individual.
So you mean like thinking about establishing a trust or something like that?
Yes, a trust, but you know, a trust, you know, is protected, but then there has to be entities and certain things can be pierced, and it gets, you know, my brother's an attorney, so it gets a little complex, but I spent a good amount of time, you know, just because we're in such a litigious society, you really know how to protect your wealth. And there actually are long-term like insurance programs where they'll pan out to 120 years of age, and I'm working with Mark Victor Hansen, and he set me up with something amazing for my kids and myself, and I'm telling you, it's almost better than I think it's better than a trust in some ways, but it functions differently. So you know, it's definitely worth getting in touch with you, and I'll let you talk to Mark Victor, and he's my buddy on this, and I'm his coach. You know who Mark Victor Hansen is, author of you know, Chicken Soup for the Soul, probably sold more books than anyone in history besides the Bible and maybe a few of the romance novels.
Amazing guy.
Yeah. So then hormone balance. Back to our number four is hormone balance, right? You got to have the right hormone balance and the biochemistry and the telomeres and the nitric oxide. So we go through a whole series of tests in the Delgado Anti-Aging Makeover Program. And in that program, people find out exactly their biological age, what their goals are, how to do it. And I hold a workshop now. We're planning to do it about once a month. The next one coming up June 6th, 7th, and 8th. And then in July, we're doing July 11th and 12th. So we've got some pretty exciting full-day workshops planned in Costa Mesa. And we're going to put them on a webinar and a podcast and stream them. So I'm just hoping a lot of people, you know, get word about, you know, this incredible transformation weekend. Because in the transformation weekend, the fifth thing we do, Ben, is transform the mind. And I got to tell you, of all things, if I were to say choose one out of the five, right? Mm-hmm. I'd say the power of the mind, because through the power of the mind, you can accomplish any of the others.
Yeah.
And most people are weak when it comes to conditioning. Athletes tend to have a little bit more discipline. Former military guys, you know, they have discipline. But that's not what it's about. It's not about discipline. It's not about willpower. It's about being able to use what I call laser-focused concentration. And in laser-focused concentration, I have created with the VP of Motorola, the former VP, what he did was he created a technology for me where starting this week in time for our big event, the March 6th, 7th, and 8th, you wear these glasses and you close your eyes in the morning for 12 minutes, and the glasses have a blinking light technology. And at our website next week, you'll be able to see this demonstrated.
Is that like the David Mind Alive device?
I think he's got something where he wears it on his head and it's a biofeedback device. I'm not familiar exactly what he's got, but I can tell you that this is a tonality. The sound that comes through gets you into a deep theta state. You transform from alpha to theta, and theta is a great learning state. And in this learning state, I recorded my best programs on sleep. People get 1 to 2 hours more of quality sleep using these glasses. I recorded my best information on fitness and in a 12 to 18 minute program on diet and food choices and restaurant selection and my concepts about wealth and security and success. And so you listen to these glasses and you plug them in and you incorporate in 7 sessions within 7 days, you'll have mastered one subject and you go on to the next category. And by the end of a month, you'll be completely transformed. I mean, absolutely, because I use NLP, timeline therapy, deep trance phenomena, hypnosis, and it just ties the brain to absolutely guarantee success. Where most people make a New Year's resolution, what, 5%, 3% to 5% follow through on their resolution, stay in shape, eat better, exercise, accumulate wealth, do better in their relationship. In our program, it's the reverse. 95% are successful. 5%, the only reason is they didn't put the darn glasses on every morning and every night before bed.
Wow. Yeah, I've messed around with that Mind Alive light sound device before, but this sounds kind of like that on steroids for anti-aging.
It is awesome. It's so awesome. And I just started some core people that we just got a bunch of devices in, and we're trying to order. So many people are placing orders having heard me talk about it. And it's only $450 for the device. And it comes with all the education programs that I'm telling you about that will ingrain in your mind exactly the right conditioning. And then I've got 60 more audio scripts that are going to be followed, uploaded to the glasses here this year for all the anti-aging makeover coaching clients. So we're really excited about it. As part of the makeover program, they get the glasses, but you know, you can purchase them separate, but a lot of people want that private ongoing training with me and my staff for a year, which is what we're excited about.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I've taken so many freaking notes while we're talking. So for folks who are listening in, maybe you're out on a run or a bike ride or at the gym or something like that while you're listening in, have no fear. I wrote all this stuff down. So you can go over to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Delgado, and I'll have the show notes and the links, and then information on Nick's books, his protocol, all that stuff, as well as everything that we talked about, from like melatonin cream to phytoplankton to the CVAC pod, everything. So check that out over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Delgado. And then if you have questions or comments or feedback, leave them in the comment section over there, and I'll try and hunt down some answers for you. So Nick, wow, man. First of all, I wish you the best of luck in breaking the world record for living as long as possible, because it sounds like you're on the right track to getting there.
with quality, and on my 120th birthday, I'll be having sex with an exotic. I mean, it'd be beyond belief.
I love it. And
I hope my woman lasts as long, but I can't guarantee that.
That's awesome. and also, thank you so much for your time and for coming on and generously sharing all this stuff with our listeners.
You know, you got to have a sense of humor, and that's one of the keys to longevity, right, Ben? And it's been really a lot of fun with you, Ben, and you really put in those thought-provoking questions. You know, most people don't have the depth and the training and the background to even, you know, come close to knowing all the things I'm doing to break the world record, not just for aging, but for quality aging. I want to be in such super shape, they're looking at me like, this man is 132 years old, and he looks like he's 32. What's up? That's what I want, Ben. Don't you?
Yeah, it's inspirational. I'm actually going to head out to my garage and do a bunch of curl presses after we hang up. So
on the trampoline. Do them while you're on the trampoline. You improve your core, your strength, your balance at the same time.
That's right. And finish up with the inversion table. Yep. Well, folks, thanks for listening in. This is Ben Greenfield and Nick Delgado with the Delgado Protocol. You can check everything out at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Delgado. Thanks for listening in, and we'll be back next week.
Visit bengreenfieldfitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness, nutrition, and performance advice.